An hour later, Sherry and the security team squeezed into the sedan. I switched over to the van with the phony delivery service logo. We continued to Dumfries. The security team set up a discreet perimeter around Novak's home. With a dummy package in hand, I walked to his front door and rang the bell. From the speaker above the bell, a Russian-accented voice asked, "What do you want?" In my best British accent, I said, "DHL, package for Lucas Novak. Leave it at the door." "You have to sign for it, mate." Long pause. "The door is open. Come in. I'm upstairs bathing my dog." I entered a narrow hallway, wall to my left, living room to the right, took a few steps forward and fell over the tripwire, landing face down on the floor. Novak bounded out of the living room, gun in hand, and jammed his foot into my back. "Move, and I'll kill you." He searched me quickly and found no weapons. "Who are you?" he demanded. "I'm not a threat. I just want to ask some questions about the Ironside dossier." "What happened to your British accent?" "I'm an American," Novak grunted. "What makes you think I know anything about that dossier?" "You're the only person Jeffrey Ironside visited after he was hired to get Russian dirt on Waldrum. He didn't go to Russia. He came to you, Colonel Bogdanovich." "Are you CIA?" "No, I used to be. I'm freelance now. I'm being paid to verify the contents of the Ironside dossier. I believe you are Ironside's source. That's why I'm here." "Who is paying you?" "An American citizen has offered a reward to anyone who can verify the dossier. You help me, and I'll pay you £100,000. "Besides you, who knows about me?" "I don't know, but I bet a lot of people are looking for you. If you don't help me, they'll keep coming." "Maybe I'll shoot you as a warning to them." "You would be committing suicide if you did," warned Sherry. Novak looked up to see her standing in his hallway, pointing her pistol at him. She had entered through the back door. "Drop the gun," Sherry ordered. While Novak was considering his next move, I rolled over and twisted the gun from his hand. Getting up from the floor, I assured him, "We didn't come here to harm you. We just want information." I gestured Novak to a chair in the living room. "Tell us about Jeffrey Ironside and the dossier he compiled on Waldrum." Novak ignored me and glared at Sherry, who remained standing, casually holding her gun at her side. He shifted his hostile gaze to me. "Why should I help you? If Moscow discovers that I'm alive, I'll be dead in a month. Your money will be of no use to me." I said, and I meant, "I didn't want to do this, but we're pressed for time." I tapped a number into my cell phone, but didn't dial. I showed the display to Novak. "Recognize this number?" "No." "It's the Russian embassy in London. If you don't talk to us, I'll call it right now and give them your real name and this address." "That won't get you the information you seek." "Why would you feed me to Moscow?" "Because you're standing between me and $10 million. If you won't talk to me, I'll make damn sure you don't talk to anybody." "You are a ruthless man, Mr. Whoever you are." "Believe it. So, who will you talk to, me or Moscow?" Novak studied his shoes before saying, "It's going to be a long night. There is a bottle of vodka and glasses in the cabinet over the kitchen sink." Sherry got the vodka and a glass for Novak, and bottles of water for herself and me. Novak downed a shot of vodka and began his story. "Russia in the 1990s was like the Wild West. Okay, the Wild East. The Berlin Wall was gone, along with the Soviet Union. The new government in Moscow was privatizing oil leases, minerals, everything. It was a buyer's market for oligarchs and the mafia. They, and the government officials helping them, were stealing more money than you can imagine. They couldn't buy enough caviars, dachas, and Mercedes to soak up all of it. While they were raping Mother Russia, they worried that one day the people would realize what was happening and the orgy would come to an end. There might be riots in the streets, revenge killings. This is one lesson of history that Russians know well. When the masses get fed up, you don't have enough guns to stop them. To prepare for that day, corrupt government officials, the oligarchs, and the criminal gangs needed an exit strategy. That strategy involved moving lots of money out of Russia and into countries where they could enjoy the good life if Russia went up in the flames of revolution or drowned in debt. The best place for the good life was the United States. The problem was how to move all those millions, maybe billions, into the States without alerting your tax authorities and without the Russian people finding out that you're robbing them blind." "And the solution was?" I asked. "They needed money laundering businesses that were cash intensive, like real estate development.